The following is a presentation of Remnant. Light of the
world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me? Good to see you guys. Welcome to Remnant Church again. Here we are. I put the mic a little lower because I get loud. I have a passion for Jesus, and I just love what He does in people's lives, including mine. Amen? I'll be reading out of 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, I want to just dive in into this message as right now. As the series goes on, boiling point. Again, the analogy is that you take a frog, put him in boiling water, he'll jump right out. But you set the frog in before you boil the water, and you start turning up the heat slowly. He'll get comfortable and slowly die as the heat rises. And yes, the world is turning up the heat around us. Things just before our eyes are just pulling at us, just wanting to drag us down or pull us away and take our eyes off Jesus, as we just sang this morning. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. 1 John chapter 2. I'm going to read verse 15 through 17. I'll be reading out of the NIV version. It reads like this. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you, God, for this morning. We come before you, Lord, and we just pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. I pray our hearts are open and receptive and ready to hear from you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. We welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, come and speak to us. Thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a man who at a very young age wanted to pursue a career in high diving. In high school, that was his passion. So he set his focus on doing 4 years at a college to really follow this career as a high diver to get to the Olympics. And this man was raised in a Christian home, Christian parents. And he loved Jesus. And he loved sharing Christ with all his friends as he grew up. So when he gets to college, he makes new friends. And he's witnessing and passing the flyers out and talking about Jesus all the time. But as the years progressed and his practicing and diving, he started fading away from ministering to people, witnessing for Jesus. He started losing his focus. And little by little, the new friends he made started pulling him away, inviting him to parties, started drinking a little, smoking a little, just doing a little bit of everything else what this college had to offer. Some of these campuses get pretty wild. And before he can look back, he's indulged, partying almost every night with his friends, kind of even diminished from the high diving practice. So right around his third year, he finally reflects, shows up all wasted, drunk, just out of his mind to his room. 1 a.m, sitting there just crying and just crying, broken. Realizing he forgot about Jesus. So as he sits there, cries and moans and groans, he goes, you know what, I'm going to end this. I don't need this anymore. I messed up. I can't do anything else for Jesus. So he decides to go out to the pool. 2 a.m, everyone's sound asleep. Goes all the way up. I don't know how high those things go, but they're pretty high. I wouldn't do it. It's a high dive. That's what it's called, a high dive, I believe. So he's up there. Says, that's it, God. I messed up. I can't do anything else for you. I messed up. Puts his arms out and just takes a breath. And just before he dies, he just takes one more look at life. And he opens his eyes. You got to realize it's 2 a.m, it's dark. There's a light coming from behind him, a light back there in the building, against the building. And he sees the wall in front of him, 30 feet away. He sees the cross. And he remembers all his childhood came to him in a second. Everything he was doing for Christ. And God said, it's okay, son. We can fix this. Just go back down and start all over again tomorrow. We can do this. And he just says, yes, Lord. Climbs down. Goes staggering to his room, of course. Thank you, Jesus, all the way to his bed. Passes out. Well, he's woken at 5 a.m. Ruckus in the buildings, the floors, everyone's running, and just chaos. And his buddies wake him up. He's like, what's going on? What's all this going on here, all this commotion? Because you don't understand. Through the night, the swimming pool by the high dive where you practice, the pipes broke and there's water all over the first floor. There's no water in the pool. You see? Jesus saved him. He was ready to plunge into an empty pool. For those of you who didn't get it. I was a little slow when I first heard it. What were they trying to say? That's what the world has to offer. Nothing. It's empty at the bottom. And I can freely say that from experience. My 22 years of addictions and partying and living like the world, living it up. I ended up at the bottom of a pool with nothing. So I turned back and looked back at what did I accomplish? What was it all worth? Nothing. I just didn't dive off a high dive. I got on my face and cried in my living room like a big baby. Wah, wah, wah. And said, God, if you're real, change me. That's all I said. You guys know the rest of the story. Some years went by, got invited to a men's retreat, got saved, been doing it now for 12 years, and I haven't looked back. I want to turn back, but Christ says, nah. No, 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 don't look at the world. Keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the cross. We got to keep following Jesus. He's the only way. We can almost believe the world is falling apart. This is a very hard message. I might not have many friends when I'm done here, but I love you guys anyway. Trust me, I carried this message all week and I had to read it every day. It convicted me. So anyways, we can believe the world's falling apart, of this evil taking place, destruction. But God is in total control. Oh, we say the world's falling apart. What can we do? God is just putting the last pieces of the puzzle back together. And you know, when you get into scripture and you really study it, it's so true how these pastors have studied in colleges and degrees. We need it. Some of us need to really dig in. If you notice, it says, do not love the world. That first word, love, I looked it up in the Greek Hebrew. It's pronounced agapate, agapate, which means a love like feelings. Oh, I think I love him. Oh, I think I'm going to eat 3 plates today at Celia's. It's the feeling kind of love. You know what I mean? That's what that means. I was like, wait a minute, then I'm reading it wrong. Then you come up to the second word, love. If anyone loves the world, that love is pronounced agapa. In the Greek Hebrew, which means to love things that are physical, materials, materialistic things. So if you reread it, you know, I do not get indulged with the things that you might think feel good and are right, aren't good for you. So if these things are good for me because I like things, the love of the Father is not in you. And the most interesting part is the third word, love. The love of the Father, I mean, the third word, love. I got to point at it. That one's important. Love of the Father is not in him. It's interesting when he says the love of the Father, now we're talking about God. That's agapeo. That's pronounced agapeo, which means an unconditional love. It's a love that only God could guide us and lead us and move us through his Spirit. It's a love pronounced agapeo, meaning only through God's Spirit can we be moved by him. See the difference? You know what's funnier? I didn't bring them, but I found over, I'm sure Jerry can confirm, there's over 26 Greek and Hebrew words just for the word love. And we use it so flippantly nowadays, so loosely. And it's a sad thing. It's important to get into God's word and see what God is really saying. And the word love is important to God. We need to have love for people, not for things. And I'm glad those of you are here this morning are here, because a lot of us could have been at the fair today. I wanted to go to the fair. But there, praise God, there's still other days, and you're here. Let's pray for those that are over there. Should have been here. Shame on them. No, I'm kidding. You're here. And by the way, you guys sing beautiful. God was smiling down. I could feel his presence as you guys sang a cappella. He loves when we sing to him. He enjoys that. We need to do that every day. I had a friend come by and work the other day, and I showed him my jobs, and he was like, wow, it is what you were saying the other day. I'm always walking around singing, ministering, singing to myself, ministering to myself. I need it. We need it, because the world will pull me away. Listen, I do work with a bunch of guys, and like I said, half of them aren't saved. And there's this word they use a lot that starts with an F. And one guy even tells me, no, Frank, say it like this. And he wants me to throw it in. I go, no, it's like this. Yeah, you're going to get tugged at, pulled at. You know what? A lot of this message is for everyone. But I believe right now God wants to speak to the younger people, because you guys are so bombarded with things of the world. And it's going to pull at you. It's going to fight you. You're going to fight it and wrestle it. And I know it's hard. I was young too once, years ago. Long time ago. Not young anymore. But that should be our passion. Us older folks minister to the younger ones. You younger people are the next generation. And here's the place to grow at. And out there's a place to use it. Minister, open your mouth. See, we can be ignorant to the signs around us. The symptoms of worldliness. People can attend church, apparently singing songs, and hopefully apparently listening to the sermons. If you're asleep right now, wake up. There's a pastor who'd be preaching. I'll keep his name out of this. I'll keep him anonymous. But when he'd be speaking, and he'd see someone sleeping, he's just talking normally, and he would say, hallelujah! And people would wake up, and he'd just keep speaking. Someone else falling asleep, hallelujah! They'd wake up. So hopefully that woke you up. So we can't be ignorant of the symptoms. See, the world has a lot to offer. We need to be careful, because we can be here worshiping, singing, but inside a lot of those people, not just here, but Christians in the Christian realm, there's people hurting. There's people that are distracted, desensitized, misdirected, drifting, deluded, and dying spiritually. The Christian realm is getting hit hard by the world. You know they're producing stuff every day, every second as we speak. Things for us to indulge in. Material things. Physical things. Things we can see, taste, hold, touch. It's a constant battle, this world we live in. And it all began in Adam and Eve. That's where it started. You got to realize, you got to back up. Where did it all start? Adam and Eve. Sin came in. Now we have a battle to fight. But the word of God says clearly, I didn't put it up there, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are overcomers. You're joint heirs. You're ambassadors. You're kings for Jesus. You're powerful people. You're joint heirs to a king. There's power in us. And we're so just quickly and easily just justify our excuses. And we succumb to the things of the world. Person sings songs without affection, listening to the preacher without conviction. We need to be hearers and doers of the word and apply Christ. See, this is what I put. A love for the world begins slowly. It's subtle, not always immediately obvious to others, and often undetected by the people who are slowly succumbing to its lies. Verse 16 says, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. That's where it's at. It's our flesh, our eyes, the things we want. We fight. But we need to be seeking Jesus. So my first point is, are we willing? Are we willing to live for Jesus and die to self? There's a great scripture, Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And if the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, it doesn't say to live on my own life. It says in Christ, in through faith. See, we want to be led by our flesh, our desires, our wants, what we look at. It's faith, where it's at in Christ, that will keep us strong and focused. Don't keep your eyes too much in the world. Yeah, of course, we live here. God placed us here. But you know, in my studies, in the years I've studied God's word, you know what I've come to a conclusion of? That every time God moved his people, persecuted, it kept spreading, gospel started spreading all over the world. It came to the uttermost parts of the world, which is us, I believe, the other side of the world. But when God would send them out, he would send them out to witness and show godly living, Christian living. They had to adapt, of course, learn the language. If I got transferred to Japan for some reason, I don't know if that's you, Lord, to go do mission work, I would just have to learn the language and learn to like their food, I guess. But if in Japan they're doing all this other stuff, worshiping other gods and doing all these rituals, that I don't need to do. See, and these Christians got it right. They were being spread out, but not doing the things the world was doing. And some of them did, sadly, and we're still living it today. It's hard. The world is just pure pressure, just at us, at us, at us. So we need to be willing. So you won't read very far in the New Testament without becoming aware of all the strong warnings the Bible says about God's word and indulging in the world. Let's look at our next scripture, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Look what it says there. The next one. 2 Corinthians. I went to James. I thought it was, well, it's 2 Corinthians. Should have been the very next slide. Okay, let's go to the next one. Yeah, that was a strong one. James just came out straight out and said it to their face plainly. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that fellowship with the world is enmity with God? See, first of all, you need to realize enmity is just being separated. God doesn't hate us. He's not going to let a hammer down, hit us on our head. Says, you're no good, get out of here, I'm going to find somebody else. No. But if it clearly says, we'll be separated from him. Again, I work in a place with a lot of worldly guys, very worldly. And I laugh with them and I hang out, but when the conversations change and the things they're doing change, I smoothly step out. I don't need to be a part of that. But I can still mix in with them and use Jesus as my weapon, as my defense, as my shield and my strength. I have to reflect Christ. Some of these guys have gone shoot out in front of me. They've been pulled. I sit right next to the boss's office. And I see the boss walk in and the guy that's going to get scolded, he messed up or whatever. And they walk out of there all upset and I'll see him later on in the yard. And I've been in there twice, corrected by the boss for two things I didn't do. But it's okay. I sat there and I said, yes, sir, I'll fix it. And they hit me up later. Frank, how come you don't get upset? You're always smiling. Quit smiling. I go, it's Jesus. Well, you should be mad at him. He told you this and you didn't even do it. So why even worry about it? Why bring it up? Think about it. We carry it because we want to. We got to just let it go. Show Christ. We got to remember what he went through for us to be here. He suffered a horrible death. And we're here, living for him now. Don't be separated from God. Live for him. Have a willing heart. Be willing to work for him. Is 2 Timothy 4:10 there? Paul had a problem with a friend that traveled with him as well. Look at what Demas did. For Demas has forsaken me, Paul says, having loved what? The present world. See, here's Paul with his buddies going around preaching Christ. And Demas lost his focus. I wonder what Demas was going through. I wonder what he was looking at. He was being pulled by the things of the world. It's right there cleanly and plainly and black and gray, I think. I'm colorblind. He has loved this present world. You know, some of us can be Demases sometimes. There's a lot of Demases walking around right now in Christianity all over the world. Fading out, losing the fire, the passion, the taste for Jesus. We need to always remember Jesus. We need to always have that drive to remember every second of our lives, to witness and be willing and walking for the Lord. And of course, it's not going to be easy. Jesus said it. You will have troubles in this world. That's not up there. But it's in the book of John. We're going to have trouble, but you can smile through it. Can you picture Christ getting nailed to the cross? For us. You're going to suffer a little bit. But it's just for a little while. See, this time we have here is just a little while. We need to be out there living for Jesus, willing to sacrifice some things out of our lives and putting forth the light of Christ. Because our human side, our flesh, man, it wants to snap real quick, huh? It wants to react first. We want to speak before we even think what we're going to say. Be it good or be it bad. You need to be willing. We need to have a willing heart. Jesus made it even clear in the next scripture. Look what it says here in Matthew. Matthew 6:24. This is Jesus speaking. No one can serve two masters, for he either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Wait a minute, Frank, that's material things. Yeah. Some people are in love with money. Or things. Things come with mammon, which is money. We need to live and survive. But we don't need to seek riches and glory. We should seek Jesus' riches and glory. He'll supply the rest. Ask me and my wife. We've been through some rough ones these past 15 years. 10 years as Christians. And we started with nothing. We were broke. We worked in the fields. And we started learning what this meant. There was even a day we hadn't much food in our house. And a lady from our church comes to pray with us, and she starts praying and crying, and the lady's asking God for food. And when she said that in the middle of our prayer, we shouldn't have opened our eyes, but we did. At the same time, me and my wife looked at each other and we smiled, and we say, "Lady, we'll give you our food." Not thinking about we weren't going to have food. We did it anyway. But I believe it was God's spirit, that word agapeo, the love, the spirit, God moved us. We took her across the street because the little church we started at was right across the street from our house. So we couldn't deny working for God and serving God. It was right across the street. Time I woke up, oh, time to go to church. We take her across the street. My wife starts pulling out cans, and I'm like, oh, gosh, we're running out. We don't have no more. Here you go, lady. We gave her like 3 or 4 bags. We gave her everything we had, just about everything, almost everything. And then she left. And okay, now what do we do, honey? We didn't have food for about a week. But my wife is a miracle worker. She could whip up beans and make them taste so good with nothing on it. So we ate nothing for a week. And a week later, another lady friend of hers, my wife, they call her. Can you come over? And we just want to talk. So we went over, kind of counseled with the girl there. She was having some marital problems, younger girl. And we're there hanging out with her, and she cooked us a nice dinner. I think, believe it was steak, potatoes. I can't remember the meal. My wife can tell you detail what I wore, everything. girls are that way, by the way, right? You guys know everything. Remember colors of shoes. Anyways, she served us dinner, and we had a good time. We're there maybe 2 hours. So we did. Honey's getting late. We got to go. It's almost 10 at night. Well, we got to leave. Thank you. God bless you. We prayed for her. So we get to the door. We say, all right, thanks. We get to the door. She goes, hold on. Can I give you some food? There's so much left. Just take it home. My wife, yeah, we don't have food yet. Let's say, yeah, say, yeah, honey, say, yeah. My wife looks at me. She saw my face, like, say, yeah. So she says, yeah, we'll take it. She gives her the leftovers from dinner, some steaks and potatoes and whatever it was. Can't remember again. So we get to the door. Thank you again. She goes, wait, stop. I'm like, what? Let me give you more. I don't think that's enough. So she pulled out more bags, and we get to the door. She goes, wait, stop. I go, what? We're all loaded with bags. I'm going to give you more. We came home with 26 bags of food. I had a little pickup. We filled the back of it. We got home. We started giving food to our neighbors. That's my wife. I'll never forget that. God provides. There is no excuse. Don't doubt. Look at it through faith, through the eyes of Jesus. Don't look at the world. It'd be nice to be rich and famous, but think of John. He was in an island, in a prison, in chains, in love with Jesus and writing these wonderful words by the love of God and His Spirit. I can stop for a minute and picture John in a 100-foot building on a 100th floor with immaculate desk, marble, 10 secretaries, plasma screens. I don't think he could write what he wrote. I don't think he would have been able to write what he wrote. See, the less you have for Jesus, the more passion you'll have for Him, and He will supply. John was in an island, a prisoner in chains, writing the gospel. Talk about the love of God. We're so way off the mark. We have our little pity patties parties. Oh, I can't. I'm tired. You young people have no excuse. You're full of energy. I was young once. Mom's like, stop already. You're drinking all the milk. You guys are it, young people. You guys are the next candles, the lights, the fires for the next church. Candelabras for Jesus. We need to keep focused on Christ. You need to be willing. And my next point is this. Are we walking a Christian life before God? Are we walking, meaning, are we living a Christian life? Look what it says in Colossians 2:6. As you therefore, and whenever you read the Bible and your Bible says therefore, is there for a reason. That's what it means. Check it out, study it, it's there for a reason, okay? Every time I read it, I do stop and detail it and cut it to pieces. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. We need to be walking in Jesus. And I don't mean the way He walked, however He walked. It's a lifestyle. Reflecting Christ with all those around you. See, that's all that would come out of my mouth. That's all that will ever come out of my mouth. Let's witness for Jesus. I'm more of an evangelistic preacher, man. I want to be out there telling everyone about Christ. I want to show we can handle people that don't treat us right through Christ. I want to show people through the love of Christ that we can get along. I want to show people that we can do anything through Christ. No matter if you have no food, He will provide. No matter if you think you're not going to graduate or make it to high school because I'm being tempted, you will make it. Focus on Jesus. Tell them about the love of Christ. Tell them what you know and been taught and growing here at Remnant with these wonderful messages these pastors have been bringing. I love Remnant Church. I was so excited all week to be here. I couldn't wait. I'm like Jerry. I'm like a racehorse. Just open the gate and turn down the mic because I will be loud. I love Jesus. Because I know what He's done for me and still doing. Do I still sin? Yes, every day. But we need to pray and continue to move forward. Christians do not have reverse. I'm sorry. Where is it? We're not backing up. You ain't backing up. You're in a battle. You're supposed to stand up and fight for what you believe in. Live it out. And Jerry says it. I've been using it. You don't need words. There's a friend again, that Christian friend that's always hammering people. You're going to hell. You're going to hell. He goes, Frank, why don't you tell them? Well, I learned something from a wonderful pastor. He said, I don't need words. I just need to act and show my actions and attitude around everyone. That speaks louder. It's so true. We need to just show them the love of Christ, our attitude and character. You know, there's a church back south called the Hook and Eye Baptist Church. They're called Hook and Eye because they believe that buttons are the world. So the only clothing they should wear is an eye and a needle. Everything's sewed. And they believe that. And they stand on that. Can you believe that? I found it on the internet. Hook and Eye. The Hook and Eye Church. Those button people, all their world, you stay away from them. No. You got buttons back. What a lie. What a lie. Did you know there's places where Christians can drink beer with every meal they have? You need to move to Germany, of course. In Germany, they don't think nothing of it. In Germany, they have a glass of beer with all their meals. And no one thinks they're unspiritual. See, people make up with these things. There's a church. Goes on. I just picked a few. There's another church where they believe that the lipstick... That saying's behind the lipstick business. Can you believe that? Wear lipstick. My first pastor said this, I'm going to use it. Jerry, Jeremiah, forgive me. Women, I love you in Christ. But he said this one day, women, you know, makeup, it's nothing wrong with it. And if the barn needs painting, paint the barn. But women, God made you perfectly beautiful. You do not need makeup. Husbands, don't tell your wives that. I've never told that to my wife. But hey, there's nothing wrong with a little makeup. There's nothing wrong with that. Paint the barn. Forgive me, Lord. Hope I get through this one. Did you know there's another church that believes mixed swimming is of Satan as well? Boys and girls can't swim together even while their swimming attire was okay. They think it's horrible. It's repulsive to them in this church. mixed swimming. Yet here in our country, the West, we don't think none of it. People have just evolved, making their own rules and regs and ways of walking before Christ. I have some pictures I want to show you. Are those next? I got some pictures to show. See, this little kid was told as he was growing up by his parents that you can sunbathe inside. You cannot get a tan indoors, okay? That's not true. The next picture, this guy's dad told him, son, whatever it takes, you can block it with your face. It won't hurt. Not too much truth in that one. Okay, next one. As a kid, I was told that a bull can stand on his head. That one looks pretty true, don't you think? There it is. Next one. This one's for some people out there that like to go fast. Don't quite like stop signs. But this is a parent that told their son, it's okay, son, you can take the turn at 40. You'll make it. You got wide tires. You'll be okay. There's a result. Right through a house. The next one, not too much truth in that one. They told me grandma's cat was a nice, friendly cat. This grandma's cat shoots a gun, man. I never went back to grandma's house after that. That was the truth. I couldn't handle that one. And the next picture and the last, they told me, Frank, you should get a mohawk. You would look so cool. What do you think? Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But anyways, take the picture off, put a blank something. You know, not everything you were taught as you were growing up was true. There's not too much truth behind it. The only way you're going to know what truth is coming to God's word. You know, some of you are young in here and your parents are telling you stuff. Look it up. Call us. Ask us. We'll look for it. Why can't I stay out late? We'll try to help you with that one. I don't know about that one. That's a hard one. But see, in all truth, God is really looking to the intentions and the actions of our heart. How are we responding to what the world's throwing at us? See, it's inside that we need work on. It's through the inside God can work. See, this is a good point that I wrote here. If you need a new car every year to keep up with the style, that's worldly. Sorry, pure and simple. Now, if you need a car for a good reason, and you're honest with how you're going to use that car, that's a totally different story. That's a good matter. If you're hurt because people don't recognize you or see you or acknowledge you, you're worldly. See, if for some reason you have a sitcom you like to watch, you like to go bowling, whatever, in versus doing God's will, you're worldly. That's why I said what I said earlier. I'm blessed you guys are here because we could have all been at the fair and it would have just been me and Jerry and Andy right here. Probably Jeremiah too. No, you got to work, huh? Well, Jeremiah has a good reason. He has to work at the fair. But see, you are here. It's important to be here. God is speaking every Sunday and every day. But we need to be here to be fed and be directed, to learn how to be willing to live for Christ and die to herself, how to walk a Christian life through God's word. And my third point would be this. Where am I at? My third point is, are we witnessing for Jesus? And I've been saying this through the whole message. We need to be a speaker for Christ. We need to be a speaker for Christ. I skipped a lot of stuff because I didn't want to go there. They probably didn't put it in there. But see, the last point is, are we witnessing for Jesus? Is in Matthew 28:19, where Jesus says, oh, there it is. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, maybe, do it tomorrow, write it in your notes, maybe next week. We have to be witnessing all the time. That's our call first and foremost, is witnessing for Christ. Yeah, go to the fair, but show them Christ. Live for Jesus. Hey, let's go get on this ride, but let's go drink this beer real quick. Or let's go smoke this, or let's go do... No. Just say no. It's that easy. Just say no. We need to be influencing people and impacting them to the side of the Lord, not away from the Lord. Which reminds me of a story that I skipped of a little boy who had a cage full of sparrows. Bunch of sparrows. And he thought it'd be a nice idea to buy a canary and hear the sparrows sing like canaries. So he goes out and buys a canary, sticks it in the cage. A few weeks later, runs to mom. Mom, guess what? The sparrows are not singing like canaries. The canary's not chirping like a sparrow. See, like it's been said over and over, you stand by the pool, you're gonna get wet. We need not be like the world. It's gonna pull at us and want us to jump into that pool with those people, those things. And it's not good. There will be repercussion. I'm still paying some of them. There's repercussion. Believe me, Christians, you're gonna answer to some of them. I know I will. I'm a sinner saved by grace, but we need to recognize where we stand. The world's gonna pull and pull and pull. But Jesus is helping us pull the other way. Are you letting him help you pull? Or you, I got this. Us guys, men, we're so proudful. I got this, honey, I can carry it. Oh, here goes my back. Call someone in, can you help me move this? It gets heavy. We need to be witnessing for Jesus. And we'll justify our excuses by something like this. You know what, they're too worldly. I'm gonna waste my time there. Let's not hang out with them. No, you need to hang out with them to draw them in. Don't let them pull you down, but you pull them up. They need Christ. We need to be witnessing for Jesus. But you need to be willing to die yourself. You need to be walking before the Lord, honestly and righteously, fair with everyone, and then witnessing. Those are three good points to work on. And they come in that step. Because if you're not willing, you're not going to witness. You're going to do what they do. The world has so much to offer. It's always offering it to me. Through screens, through things I see. Where was it last night, Victor? Me and Victor are loading up the stuff. The minute I open the door to the YFC building, go outside and open the truck to load up, I smelled someone was cooking out. It smelled so good. I was like that cartoon almost floating like Bugs Bunny to the location. I walk in, I go, Victor, don't go outside. I go, sorry, dude, someone's cooking out. And it smells good. See what the world has, it looks good. It looks like agapate. It looks like agapa. It feels good, it tastes good. It feels right. But is it of God? Or is it of the world? What's tugging at you these days? What's pulling and talking to you these days? Only you know. And I smile telling you because things are tugging at me. And I'm fighting alongside with you through the power of Christ. See, we need to be witnessing. A lot of Christians are dying. Some even commit suicide. They're pushing bullets through their heads, jumping off bridges, turning on the gas, living in misery day after day, year after year. It's a sad thing. But are we willing to go to that next level? Are we willing to fight that thing just pulling at us in the world? We're going to be fighting, guys. But you're a soldier for Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. I said it earlier. You need to stand up for Jesus and what you believe in. Don't believe everything you hear. A bull cannot stand on his head. That was just an accident. Freaky picture. So why have we lost the spirit of glad sacrifice? We are living in the midst of people that are dying all around us. And the funniest thing is, they don't live 10,000 miles away. They could live two blocks away. Down the street, your neighbor live behind you. They're crying for help. Through all the vain words that come out of their mouth, that was ice. Was it me? All the things they're asking you to do or wanting to aspire you to do that don't honor Christ. It's of the world. And you know, I believe everyone in this room, just about everyone, knows what they're doing. You know what's wrong and right. You know when God is telling you no, that's not good. We know. And we can recognize it. And give it to Jesus. You see? But are you willing? Are you going to walk for the Lord and give it to Him? This is what I put. We have become the Pharisees and the Levites of today. Why do I say that? Because there's a story in the Bible where some religious leaders are walking down the street and there's a traveler injured. And two Christian men saw the man and crossed the street and went around because they didn't want to help him. They didn't want to get defiled by him. And here comes a worldly man, doesn't probably believe in God, and helps him and takes him to a room and took care of him. We need to be willing to serve for Jesus. We need to be the vessels, the hands, the feet. How else are your surroundings going to know about God, about Jesus and the joy that's in you when they don't understand how you're reacting or they're not understanding why you don't want to partake? It's Jesus. That's all I say at work. Frank, why? Jesus. How did you fix that invoice? Jesus. How did you mess that one up, self? See? You need to be that light. Guys, we're a city on a hill. You can't hide your light. And if you're hiding it, shame on you. Show your light. Don't be ashamed. Again, remember the cross and the price that was paid. It's paid in full. You've been paid for. Are they going to make fun of you? Are you going to lose friends? Yes. But you will wake up one day in eternity. You need to be focused where we're headed. Not in what the world can offer and give us. The last verse I put up. Matthew 16, 2-3. Look what Jesus said. That one, you just passed it. When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today. For the sky is red, that should have been this, excuse my typos, and threatening. Hypocrites, Jesus says. He called them hypocrites. That's a strong word back then. Only He is the one that could use that word. If you look up through the New Testament, Jesus is the only one that used the word hypocrites. He's the only one that could use it, because He was pure and holy. You know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the time. This is where the Christians are at right now. We're not discerning what's going on. We see it, but we want to ignore it. We know we can do something, and we don't. We need to discern the signs of the time. Yeah, we know the weather, but why are we ignoring what's going on in the world? People dying without Jesus. I want to see one day in the news, big reports. Oh, man, get saved in the drowning and proclaims and get saved and they baptized in the same river he almost died. They'll never show that part. I love the Super Bowl game sometimes because some of these guys, real quick, I want to thank my Savior, Jesus Christ. That's awesome. We need to let people know why we're here and what we do, why we do, and when we do it. Invite them over. Remnant Church, Sunday, 11 o'clock. You're that tool. You're that vessel in your surrounding. I've said this before. This room of people, there's at least 10 to 20 people that surround your life. If you invited them and started bringing them, can you imagine? Like one brother said the other day, we're going to have to turn this away, the long way, and be up there on that stage. But you're the only tool that's going to bring them. But what are you showing them? What are you reflecting? Does the music we listen to, the things we're watching, the conversations we're having, the things that we're getting into in the world, are they honoring the world and leading you toward the world? Or is it honoring Christ? That's the difference. That's where the battle's at. We're in a teeter-totter. The world is turning up heat, but God is too. He's calling His people. You're His people. We're His people. He's turning up the heat. That's why things are just clicking, man. You're just, what's going on in me? Jesus wants to use you. You're growing. Start that fire inside you. Let it burn. Burn the dross, as the Bible says. Let it work in you and change you. Don't fight Jesus or the Spirit. Let it work in you. Because the world's flame is big too. But you have the fire of God. You have Jesus living in you. You're more than conquerors. You're joint heirs. You're an ambassador to the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine these words in here? God, the Creator, spoke them. You need to fathom who spoke these words. It's just not a book. They're strong warnings. And he loves us so much. And I'm not here to badger none of you down. But look at this last verse. We can do this. Look what it says in Romans 8:1. There's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. See, we're going to blow it and mess up. But get up. Witness to that person. Live for Jesus. Pray. Be willing to die to yourself and let those things go and live for Christ. Walk for God. And witness. Open your mouth. Some of you can talk all day like me. I'm long-winded.
Light of the world. You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. You